are now on air.
Morning audio date is 04.04.2024. Current time is 06 a.m. Eastern Time here in upstate New York. That'd be the southern tier of upstate New York where I live and reside. And this is the Fireman Rich Audio Podcast. All right, hello, and good morning on this want-to-be Friday, Thursday, April 4th, 2024. Rich Roberts, at Fireman Rich, here on Spotify for Podcasters app, as well as over there on X, at Fireman Rich. I'm also at Fireman Rich over there on Truth Social, Blue Skies, and Instagram Threads, and on the public Facebook, you just gonna have to enter The Real Fireman Rich. Or else you can just Google Fireman at Fireman Rich, and you'll see where I'm at. But we're getting our day started here at the computer desk, doing the Fireman Rich Audio Podcast Morning Coffee, and we do have the morning coffee right here. Tasting mighty fine. Good coffee. Hashtag positive start to the day there. Hashtag PSTTD as we get the day going. And it's been about a week now, because this past Tuesday, because of last month, right out of the gate for the new month, the first Tuesday, we have Tioga. What is that over on Mixcloud? The Tioga. Can't think of it. The coffee hasn't kicked in this morning. Let me go to the webpage here over there on Mixcloud. The Tioga Radio Show. What the hell? Jeez. It's a slow start this morning, folks. But we did the Tioga Radio Show this past Tuesday. So with this being the first week of the new month, we still have two more to do. So, but next week will be Tuesdays and Thursdays. We'll be doing a Fireman Rich Audio Podcast, Morning Coffee Broadcast, the audio side of the Fireman Rich Morning Coffee live stream that we do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over there on Twitch. And we do some things on the weekend over on Rumble and also on Twitch. But we're here to do the audio. Audio is fun. It's my voice, my audio, as I used to say back in the old days. And we're off and running here as far as to get our day started. And we still have a rainy day outside. It looks like we've had rain. Currently here in the southern tier of upstate New York, it's 39 degrees Fahrenheit, which equates to... Oh, it went up a degree. Okay, that's good. 39 degrees Fahrenheit equates to 3.88 degrees Celsius. So we're definitely in the plus side here. We're definitely out of those negative Celsius temperatures. And let's see what the day... We're supposed to get... Supposedly, I see in a graph here, we're supposed to get some snow this hour and the next hour. But I think it's at higher elevations because with the temperature currently at 39, there's no way we're going to get snow. And as far as that goes, but there's forecasting for light snow this morning. I think it's going to be at higher elevations. And then the remainder cloudy this afternoon, high around 45 degrees Fahrenheit, which is comfortable. Winds out of the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of snow is 90%. That'll be interesting to see. We might see the snow and it'll melt as soon as it hits the ground. But it has been rainy here the last couple days, and it's going to probably continue throughout the week as far as we're in April showers. But they've got snow predicted this afternoon at 11 to till tomorrow morning, in a manner of speaking. But I'm just looking at the temperature. The temperatures are above freezing we're at. And then again, Friday, tomorrow evening at 9. So I don't know where they're getting the snow at. It's got to be for higher elevations. This morning, the sun will be rising at 6:43, which is in about, it's 6:45 now. So it's, 6:43. We'll take two off of that. Then we've got about 41 minutes, the sun will be rising here in the southern tier of upstate New York at 6:43 a.m., and it'll be setting at 7:35 a.m. And our world times and temperatures as I speak, starting in Honolulu, Hawaii, currently at 12:05 a.m. They're just clicking into the Thursday here, the want-to-be Friday. It's clear skies with some cloudiness, 73 degrees Fahrenheit, sliding over to Phoenix, Arizona at 3:05 a.m. currently. Clear skies, 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Chicago, Illinois is the windy city, cloudy skies, 39 degrees at 5:05 a.m. And then in New York City, the jungle, at 6:06 a.m. It's 6:06 a.m. currently here in the southern tier of upstate New York also. Cloudy skies, 37 degrees Fahrenheit. Going across the pond, the Atlantic Ocean to Cork, Ireland, where it's 11:06 a.m. Cloudy skies, 47 degrees Fahrenheit. In Milan, Italy, at 12:06 p.m. Manja time there, lunchtime, and cloudy with some clearing, a little sunshine peeking through, 58 degrees Fahrenheit. And in Kuala Lumpur at 6:06 p.m. in the early evening, sunny and clear, 86 degrees Fahrenheit. Over in Tokyo, Japan at 7:06 p.m., cloudy sky, 63 degrees Fahrenheit. And down in the Great Continent of Australia, Melbourne, Australia, at 9:07 p.m. It's clear skies with some cloudiness, 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Over in Sydney, clock just changed to 9:07 p.m. there in Sydney. And we have rainy conditions, and it's 66 degrees Fahrenheit. And those are our world times and temperatures as I speak. And the last 2 days, because of the rain, we haven't had a walk, the missus and me. So maybe we'll get a walk in today. Of course, we did a lot of walking yesterday morning, going to Lowe's to pick up some things, and also over there doing a Walmart visit. So I think we got about 21 minutes worth of walking in. It's walking and stopping, looking, walking, stopping, and looking. It's not a consistent straight 21 minutes of walking, but we'll see what happens today. It might be pretty soggy, but we got a little walkway that we walk on the path at the golf course, and it'll be good getting a walk in here. I'm just adjusting my volume because I'm getting just a tad feedback, and there we go. So let's see, we do have a thought for the day that I posted up there on Twitter, and it's from a gentleman who's a great American football coach, and that's Lewis Leo Holtz is an American football, a former American football coach and television analyst. He served as the head football coach at college at William & Mary, North Carolina State University. And the New York Jets. I thought he coached West Point also. I'm pretty sure that he did. But we have a quote from him, and it's always good in getting a solid quote from a solid football coach. And Lou Holtz was definitely a good football, an inspirational football coach. And his quote and our thought for the day goes as follows. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. So that 10% can actually be more than what it seems, though, at times, even though it's percentage-wise, it's not that big. But it may seem big as far as that goes when it's not put in perspective. So, but life is 10% what happens to you and 90% of how you respond. So the how you respond is your control. So you have control 90% of what happens to you. And it's, I think, what Lou Holtz is saying. So it's how you deal with situations, how you want to move forward in this life as far as that goes. And hopefully it's on the good side, as I'm always saying, because we don't like the bad side. The bad side is bad. Who wants to be on the bad side? We want to be the good guys, part of the good guys as far as that goes. And so that's his sort of outlook on, I think, life in general. And I think coming from a football coach, that's a good football coach analogy, that when you're playing football and you're coaching players, you want them to reach their best. And so to reach your best, you got to give 110%. But when the flip side of the coin is, so you got 10% that's influencing you and affecting you in manners, you have to make sure you have control of that influence, and that 10% doesn't overtake your overall life and stuff like that. So life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. So I think that's a good quote right there. You can take a lot of meaning out of that one and a lot of takeaways. So thank you, Lou Holtz, American football coach. And let's see, our national day today, we have some good ones. National Vitamin C Day. Ooh, I like vitamin C. That's a good one right there. Jeep 4x4 Day. I don't know about that. It's just, then they're going to have National Ford Day, National Chevy Day, and all that. National School Librarian Day. Yeah, I guess they could have one. National Chicken Cordon Bleu. I like Cordon Bleu. That's not a bad meal there. Let's see, National Hug a News Person Day? I don't think so. I like this one. You know, we have Taco Tuesday. Well, today is National Burrito Day. National Burrito Day is the first Thursday in April, celebrating the tasty and versatile Mexican wrapped dish. Hashtag National Burrito Day. A burrito is a heavy tortilla wrapped around meat, cheese, tomato, rice, beans, vegetables, and sauces. And oh, it is so good. It sounds so simple, but it is so good. Who doesn't like a good burrito? Like many other tortilla dish, the burrito is flexible. The cook chooses the meat filling with from ground beef, shredded chicken, shredded beef, and shredded pork. And I love all those. The same applies to the bean choices, often ranging from black beans, red, whole, and refried beans. Once again, the flexibility of choices applies to the vegetables, allowing the cook to grill the vegetables or keep them fresh. Spices such as cumin, chili powder, and oregano give the burrito an authentic Mexican flavor. And for additional crunch, chimichangas are burritos that have been deep fried, as far as that goes. So chimichanga, just a different name for a different way of processing the burrito. So today is National Burrito Day. Though I do like that vitamin C day. I got to make sure I take my vitamin C. Okay, and our good story, you can see on the cover art, there we have a picture of a gorilla, a silverback, a male, mature male silverback, I would say. And what they're finding, you know, I've seen gorillas before. The one time I went to, I was before shipping out overseas out of Travis Air Force Base, which is outside San Francisco, I got a chance to go to the San Francisco Zoo. I spent the day before I left, and to be stationed over there in the Philippines for a year, I got a chance to walk around and take the trolley in San Francisco, the Rice-A-Roni train there, I guess you used to call it. And but I also visited the zoo in San Francisco. This is back in the early 80s, and it was quite a zoo. One of the animals they were taking care of and housing there was gorillas. And they had this house you could go into, and they have like really 2-inch double-plated plexiglass windows that you could look, and you were looking eye to eye at a gorilla if they came up to the window. And there was a silverback, and it just beat at its chest, and it's just like, oh man, they're getting violent. And they would run into the window when people got too close to it, because they didn't want you to stand too close. Very territorial, but gorillas use their chest beating to prevent conflict, not to provoke it. So the interpretation I got when I first saw that up close and personal is like, this gorilla is telling me, get the frick out of the house. I don't like you there. But it's not a provoking. It's to prevent conflict, and it's their way of communicating as far as that goes. So this is from a new study of recent that the beating of their chest is to prevent conflict, I guess, with other gorillas. So I don't know if it's the amount of beats or whatever. So let's see. A gorilla's chest beating is an incredible sight, and I can tell you that it is incredible because I've seen it. It's pretty awe-inspiring. And incredible sight and sound to behold, but new researchers based on years of observation of mountain gorillas show there's much we never understood about the iconic acoustics of them. You know, since people first went to see King Kong or see gamers first meet Donkey Kong from the Mario Brothers franchise, most might say male gorillas beat their chest with their fists as a sign of challenge or triumph. Apart from the fact that they use cupped hands, it seems to serve a number of functions, a challenge not necessarily being one of them. Edward White, a primatologist at the Max Planck Institute spent between 2014 and 2016 observing 500 chest beats from 25 different silverback mountain gorillas in Rwanda National Park. Using acoustic monitoring equipment, he and his colleagues determined that the chest thumping was an honest demonstration of body size. This hints at several organizational aspects of gorilla social life. The first is the larger animals were recorded at lower frequency, which could travel half a mile. By beating their chest, air sacs underneath their larynx reverberates with the kinetic energy, producing a sound, and the bigger the male, the deeper the sound. This is believed to broadcast how big and dominant a male is as a means of keeping rival males away from their social groups, because they're protecting the females. Furthermore, it's believed that each thump may act as a calling card, with members of a dominant male group being able to identify the silverback from the sound. Okay, that's interesting. Sort of their communication process out in the jungle. The second aspect was that while sound depth and body size were correlated, body size and frequency of chest thumping intensifies did not. The dominant male didn't pound their chest any more than the smaller rivals. This presented Dr. Wright and his colleagues with a fascinating suggestion. The chest thumping is used diffuses fights rather than provoke them. Along with smaller males hearing the chest thumping of a dominant male and knowing to steer clear by returning the sound with their own puny chest thumps, because being smaller, they can alert the dominant male to the presence, and we're gurgling. Reset? Yeah, we're reset. Okay. We're gurgling there a little bit, folks. Okay. It happens. Along with the small males, hearing the chest thumps of a dominant male and knowing to steer clear by returning the sound with their own puny chest thumps, as we just said, they can alert the dominant male to their presence while simultaneously demonstrating that they're no match physically due to the height frequency of their thumping sounds. So they're just saying, hey, I'm not coming your way. Even if you're likely to win a fight, there is still quite a high risk factor, Dr. Wright told National Geographic's. These are large, powerful animals that can do a lot of damage. And believe me, when you see one up and close and personal, you're glad you have something of a barrier between you that they can't get through, because they are very scary. How the chest thumps affect the female half of gorilla society is even less well studied, but the scientists knew at the Institute of their observations that male beat their chests more when the females in the society group enter, I guess when they want to mate, I believe, and that large males make deeper calls, which were both found to correlate to reproduction success. Further studies will examine whether a large male chest beating can act as a siren's song, as it were, and pull females away from other social groups. Okay. So there's a lot more than just pounding on the chest, as there's a lot of communications behind it as far as that goes. And like I said, when you see one of these animals, they're beautiful animals, and to be able to have an opportunity to see one up and close and personal, I still remember it, even though it was back a long time ago, back in the early 80s when I saw the silverback beat his chest here at the San Francisco Zoo, and but it was really intriguing as far as that goes. It's the old saying, it's one thing to see it on TV and a picture of it, but when you're up in person to see that particular thing that you want to see, it leaves a lasting impression. And this is one of my life's lasting impressions, that I was able to see one of these magnificent animals up close and personal. I mean, the silverbacks, I'm 6'5", and it stood bigger than me. It was huge as far as that goes, and they were very well taken care of as far as that goes. And though they weren't in their natural habitat, but they were taken quite well. And and I think for the most part, most zoos do, as far as that goes. We've gotten past that, where they're... though you want to see these animals in their natural habitat, but it does give an opportunity for us to reflect on how they're part of this world ecosystem as it goes. Okay, on this day in history, 60 years ago today, Beatlemania was in full bloom as the band held everyone on the top five spots of the U.S. charts. They had hit after hit. The Beatles packed the Billboard Hot 100 with Please Please Me, I Want to Hold Your Hand, Roll Over Beethoven, and Love Me Do. And at number one, Can't Buy Me Love. The Fab Four also had another 9 songs lower in the charts, bringing them unprecedented a total of 14 after having arrived in the United States 2 months earlier. I mean, they were cranking them out as far as that goes. Let's see, bluesman Muddy Waters was born in Mississippi in 1913, and the peace sign was created by artist Gerald Holtham in London for an anti-war protest in England, incorporating the flags, signals, semi-pours, and the letter N and D for nuclear disarmament back in 1958. Wow. Okay, happy birthday to Robert Downey Jr. I like him. He's the Iron Man who turns 59 today. He was born back in 1965. He's a youngster. Let's see, back in 1984, President Ronald Reagan called for an international ban of chemical weapons, the use of them. They are nasty. We don't need them. And back in 1969, the first temporary artificial heart was implanted by Dr. Denton Cooley. And I don't think the person lasted that long, but Jimi Hendrix, B.B. King, Buddy Guy, Joni Mitchell, Al Cooper, and Ted Nugent met up for an all-night blues, folk, and rock session at the New Generation Club in New York after hearing in the news, yes, on this day in 1968, Martin Luther King was assassinated, as far as that goes. And, you know, the music died on that day, I guess. And I think it was, April, and it was May, June, 2 months later. That's when Bobby Kennedy was assassinated, too. I remember that was a turbulent time as far as that goes. It was April 4th, 1968. Civil rights leader Martin Luther King, age 39, way too young, was shot and killed while standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee, and his slayer was followed by a wave of rioting in Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Chicago, among the cities particularly hit. James Earl Ray later pleaded guilty to assassinating King and then spent the rest of his life claiming he was a victim of a setup, which, I don't know, you pulled the trigger and you killed the man, so you're guilty. Let's see, on this day in 1841, President William Henry Harris succumbed to pneumonia 1 month after being inaugurated, becoming the first U.S. chief executive to die in office. John Tyler became the first vice president to assume the office of president after such a death. It was 1865. President Abraham Lincoln accompanied his son Tad, visiting vanquished Confederate capital of Richmond, Virginia, where he was greeted by a crowd that included former slaves. And let's see. In 1917, the United States voted 82-6 in favor of declaring war against Germany. The House followed suit 2 days later by a vote of 373-50. Woodrow Wilson declared war, and Congress approved that. And a lot of people don't realize how World War I was started. World War I was started primarily because of the espionage that Germany was doing against the United States back in that time. I always thought it was because they intercepted a communique to the Mexican government from the German embassy down in Mexico that they were trying to get Mexico to go to war with the United States, and they would back them. Well, actually, it was just before World War One. Yeah, this is World War One. I'm sorry, 1817. Yeah, because it was a Japanese imperial army that when they bombed. Well, their navy, when they bombed Pearl Harbor, got us into World War II. That was a given. But for World War One, you know we went over there. Oh, the Doughboys was to support England and France. And yeah, but what? You just don't go to war to support. We were already supporting them, and Germany didn't like that. So there was a lot of explosions in the New York City shipyards, where they were loading up ships to send over to Great Britain and to France with supplies. And Germany was in the process of sabotaging those ships with bombs. They were blowing up in the harbor. And once that was found out, that Germany was behind that, that was an act of war. So I didn't even realize that until just recently here, that because World War One is like, okay, yeah, the first real modern war was the Civil War, but World War One was very, very you know, war is just messy in general, and we shouldn't have it. But it was a pretty devastating war with the chemicals too, you know, as far as that goes. So let's see, 1945, during World War II, U.S. forces liberated the Nazi concentration camps in Germany. Hungary was liberated as the Soviet Union cleared out the remaining German troops in that country. And let's see, it was 1949. 12 nations, including the United States, signed the North Atlantic Treaty in Washington, D.C., which started NATO. And in 1974, Hank Aaron of the Atlanta Braves tied Babe Ruth's home run record by hitting his 714th round home run in Cincinnati. And I remember that. I remember Hank Aaron, a great ball player. And that'll be a good segue because we had some baseball yesterday. The Mets were rained out, so there's going to be a doubleheader today. But the Yankees did win last night. If I get to the scores here, yeah, Yankees beat the Diamondbacks 6-5. And the Mets, they will be playing the Tigers today at 12:10 at noontime, and then again at 3:04. So we'll be keeping an eye on that as far as that goes, as the baseball season is swinging and I'm trying to watch some baseball here as far as that goes. The Yankees are off to a great start with a 6-1, six wins, one loss so far in the early stages, very early stages of the baseball season, where the Mets, these are the two teams I like. They're down in the cellar. They're still 0-4. So hopefully the two games will put them in the win side of the column. We did have some basketball last night in the NBA. The Celtics were playing last night. I did watch a little of this game, but it was over by all practical purpose. The Celtics beat the Thunder there in Boston Garden, 135-100. And the Nets, they beat the Pacers, Indiana Pacers last night, the Brooklyn Nets, I should say, beat the Indiana Pacers 115-111. And I believe the Knicks, they play this weekend, I believe. Yeah, they play against the Bulls tomorrow. They play Friday. Oh, this is Friday. Yeah, tomorrow night, Friday at 8 o'clock. And do the Nets play? No, Nets aren't playing. The Celtics aren't playing. And then going into the weekend, the Nets will be playing the Pistons Saturday. And Sunday, what do we have? We have the Nets playing the Kings, and I don't see the Celtics. Oh, there they are. They're playing the Trailblazers Sunday at 6 p.m. So we'll be following that because the NBA action is getting pretty exciting now. It's getting close to the playoffs, I guess. So they're jockeying for position. We will have USFL action this weekend. The San Antonios will be at Memphis, the Memphis Showboats. I'm going to be picking the San Antonio team there. I'm going to be taking San Antonio. And then that's at 12 p.m. Saturday on ESPN, and then on ABC at 8 p.m. that evening, Arlington at St. Louis. Both those teams lost, but I'm going to pick St. Louis. That's my favorite team as far as in the USFL or UFL. And then Sunday, the matchups on ESPN at 12 noon, the Birmingham Stallions against the Michigan Panthers. I got to go with Michigan. I think Birmingham's going to win. I'm not a Birmingham fan. I even, you know, so they got a good team, though. Good team. And then it's the Houston Roughnecks against D.C., Washington. And I don't know. After seeing the Houston Roughnecks, I'm picking D.C. to win that game. So I was pretty excited watching all four games last weekend, and I plan on watching at least two or three of them, the whole games. I don't know about that that Houston Roughneck game, because Houston Roughnecks, that was the last game this last weekend. It was the most sorriest, I'm afraid. But there we go with the football. And we're coming up on 35 minutes. So we're going to go ahead and exit stage left here. We're past our 30-minute mark. So we're going to go ahead and exit stage left and get our day started here and see what the day brings on this Want to Be Friday of April 4th, 2024. And we will be back tomorrow. Let's see. We got the outro music? Yeah, the outro music's going. We will be back tomorrow over there on Twitch for the Friday morning coffee, the live stream, which we'll be doing. And we'll then entail make it to the weekend. We made it to the weekend after to tomorrow, and we can kick back and just enjoy the weekend. Of course, I think I'm going to be doing a little bit more walking on the weekend to make up for the last 2 days of not walking. Of course, last week I wasn't feeling all that great, and I'm just I got some lingering sinus congestion, and you know, as a result of a cold I had last week, but that's getting better. So the extra walk, well, it's not really an extra walk because I didn't walk yesterday, the day before, because of the rain. So it's just playing catch up on the walking aspect. So, all right, folks, this is Rich Roberts, Fireman Rich here on Spotify for Podcasters app. Wishing you all well. Have a great Thursday on this Want to Be Friday, as I like calling it. And we'll see you next week, Tuesday and Thursday, for the Fireman Rich audio podcast. You can follow me over there on X at Fireman Rich. I'm over on Truth Social, Blue Skies, Instagram Threads at Fireman Rich, as well as on the public Facebook, The Real Fireman Rich. So you all have a great one till the next time we meet, and live life, have fun. Ciao for now. As always, peace. Take care, folks.